Shake their hand, smile at them real big. Just let them know you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. And if you're not glad to see them, don't tell them, don't lie. Find some of you are glad to see. Just kidding. God bless you. May be seated in Jesus' name. Love everybody here tonight. Love that the Lord is here in such a wonderful way. Love Brother Ray Bonilla. He said, Pastor, he said, it's going to be better than that picture. He said, there's going to be eggs and bacon and sausage. I said, why wait? Fire it up. Hallelujah. I said, he's talking my language. I love breakfast. So if you want to know what Pastor likes, I like breakfast and I like chocolate cake. So if the Lord ever moves on you, you know what I like, okay? I like breakfast. I like chocolate cake. I don't get to eat much of it anymore, as I do try to be good. But every now and then, it's good to jump off the wagon. And it's good to indulge. Amen. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26. And I actually have all of the scriptures. I forgot they're on the printer. If you want them, I've printed them so you can have those there. Usually I give them all the scriptures and they're just on point. And you thought they were just working the gifts of the Spirit. They were discerning what I was going to say before, but I give them a little bit of scriptures where we're going to go. But I love the Word of God. I love what God has done for us and what God is doing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23 through 26. This is going to be in the NIV version. I don't really read of it very much, but thought it was interesting to read this part of it. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. There's a lot of people that like to go around getting into questions that they don't even know the answers to. They just like to debate. They like to quarrel. They like to just always say, well, I don't think the scripture means that. I don't think it really means that. And they try to give their own interpretation, but it's not in the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to be starting a new series. We've already ended The Blessed Life, and we've already taught this series before, I think a few years ago, 3-4 years ago. I feel like the Lord wants us to learn it again, and it is because we are His. Everything we do, everything we don't do, everything we're a part of, it all boils down because we are His. Now, there was a guy by the name of Lloyd Douglas, and he tells about a man who went to visit his old violin teacher and ask what's new. And the teacher said, I'll tell you what's new. And he grabbed a tuning fork and he banged it. And the tuning fork, at 440 cycles per second, it vibrated an A note, which came out loud and clear. He said, do you hear that? That's an A, he proclaimed. He said, now upstairs, a soprano rehearses endlessly, and she's always off key. He said, next door, I have a cello player who plays his instrument very poorly. There is an out-of-tune piano on the other side of me. He said, matter of fact, I'm surrounded by terrible noises night and day. And he hits the tuning fork again. And it's A, he continued. He said, do you hear that? It's A today. It'll be A tomorrow. It will never change. Even though I have no idea if it's on key or off key, I just know when it sounds good and doesn't sound good. But it still does not negate the fact that the A will always sound like an A. Anybody believe that? If you know anything about music, I know a little bit, not much. I know enough to be dangerous that a C note will always be a C note. And a G for Jesus note will always be a G. Just kidding. One of the current trends making the rounds in church growth theory is this, that we constantly change the church culture so it can relate to our changing society. They are seeker services or user-friendly congregations that cater to everybody's wants and everybody's desires. It's not about a creator, it's about the creation. It's not about God, it's about the man and what man wants and what man craves. Who cares that our society is obsessed with self, polluted by immorality, repulsed by commitment, and smug in its new tolerance of one that tolerates everything except biblical absolutes. It's always satisfying the flesh and the fleshly desires and the fleshly mindsets, and it cares nothing about the spiritual. And I am afraid that much of the growth that we've seen recently in religious circles has been more of an infectious swelling as ministries and movements are built on human charisma and innovation rather than biblical instructions. Now, don't get me wrong, I agree with a change in our methods that always allows us to preach the gospel in a more effective way, that allows us to work smarter and see the results from our efforts. But the Bible expressly forbids us to ever change its message. Methods change, but the message must never change. Society will change, stock market will change, real estate changes, ideas, beliefs, opinions change. We can even change our approach and the way we present it, but we must never waver on the message. We must never waver on the Word of God. We must never deviate from its truth. We must never add or take away anything in this Word. Galatians 1:8 says it like this: but though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. An angel. If he preaches any other gospel than what this gospel is, an angel, let him be accursed. Revelations 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Can I just tell you, God is not playing around with his word. Whether you believe it, whether you don't, whether you agree with it, whether you don't, God does not play around with his word. Proverbs 22:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. We cannot, we must not change our message. I don't care what everybody else does and everybody else says. And let me just tell you, just because the majority is doing it does not make it right. Many say that the one that says it the loudest is usually the one that knows it the least. I want to make sure that my biblical absolutes does not lie in somebody else's ideas, beliefs, or traditions. But I want to make sure that my biblical absolutes, it lies in the Word of God. That's why I'm supposed to buy this truth and sell it not. Some things like the A in the music scale cannot be changed even slightly without destroying everything around it. If you change this message, you change everything this message stood for, because it is our foundation. It is our centerpiece. It is our roadmap. It is our guide. John 8:31 says it like this: then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then what? Ye are my disciples indeed. If you'll continue after this word, Jesus says, you're going to be my disciples. We always love it when we say, you know, if we just show love, we'll be known as his disciples. But it's more than that. Not only do we got to love, but we've got to stay in the Word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It shall make you free. It's in His Word that makes you free. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. God help us. Matthew 24, 35 says it like this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. Every time I teach a Bible study, the very first thing I say, Brother Viscara, I say, now listen, it doesn't matter what you believe. And it doesn't matter what I really believe. Doesn't matter your tradition. Doesn't matter what grandma taught you. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what's written in the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the only thing that's going to save us. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I've done A, I've done B, I've done C, I've never done Z. And we can lay it out for the Lord. But when the Lord opens up, He says, I'm going to judge you, not out of your thoughts and your beliefs, but I'm going to judge you out of the Word. And we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You got to read this thing. Thank God for all the things that you do and all the commentaries you read and all the self-help books that you indulge in. But you should never lose the desire to read God's Word. Doesn't the Word say something like, he that meditates day and night shall what? Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Doing what? Thank God. Brother Joseph, you know the Word. Can I tell you, Brother Joseph, he comes to me a lot and he knows the Word. He's been an ordained minister of the gospel. Matter of fact, one time he brought his plaque with me. He says, Pastor, I just want to show you. I said, Brother Joseph, you didn't have to do that. I already knew you were. But Brother Joseph, he has a hard time reading, right? I don't want to embarrass you. So a lot of his scripture memorization is what he hears. You got to do something to make it stick in here. Some of you aren't good readers. Some of you just fall asleep when you begin to read. Well, get the Word of God on a CD or get it on podcast or whatever it is. But let the Word of God begin to penetrate in your spirit before you try to dial in to another station, because that's what you're going to do. You're going to dial into a frequency. You're going to find something that will somehow soothe you. But really the only thing that can soothe you, the only ointment that really can cure you, is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but there's been many times that I've gone through some stuff and nobody understands and nobody can comprehend, but it seems like when I open up the Word of God and I begin to read, and I've read it before many, many times, but all of a sudden I'm just going through something and God just lays a word from his holy gospel, and I see that verse and it comes alive and I'm like, wow, I've never seen this before. When you start reading the Word of God and you study this thing, it gets into your spirit. That's why the Bible says, hide the Word of God in your heart that you may not sin against God. And so this study that we're talking about, and we will talk about, it's a study on because we're His. And it's been prepared to deal with the foundational issues of apostolic faith. That's what I want to do. I want us to take a little journey, and I know there's no way we could cover everything, but we're going to cover some things, and we're going to address some questions in the next few weeks to come, and it'll take us a few weeks, and tonight we're just going to lay the groundwork for what's to come, but I want to deal with some real questions that many people have, and that is, does the Holy Ghost affect the outward appearance of the vessel He chooses to dwell in? Or does our outward appearance even matter at all? Is there any merit to it? Or is it just personal conviction? Does God really care? How about this? Is it a heaven or hell issue? Heard a preacher one time make the statement concerning marriage. His wife had asked him to do the dishes and take out the trash and clean up after himself. And his reply was, is this a marriage or divorce issue? I'm going to tell you tonight that if it's in the Word of God, it's a heaven or hell issue. If God has put it in His Word, it's not a request. It's not just something to say, hey, would you read it and think about it and get back to me and let me know if you'd like to, you know, do, you know, what you want to do with it. God doesn't work like that. Every word of God is yea and amen. That's why I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it doesn't matter what grandma and grandpa taught you. Thank God for grandma and grandpa. I had a grandma that did her rosary 10, 12 times a day. She sat on the porch. But I don't want to be brought up by the vain traditions of men. I want to be brought up by the Word of God. It's His Word that's going to save me. Thank God for grandma. Thank God for grandpa. Thank God for my heritage that I have. But they're not going to save me. Matter of fact, this preacher, this pastor behind this pulpit in front of you tonight, I can't save you. The church can't save you. The only thing that can save you is what's written in the Word of God. Now let me just go a step further. I'm thankful I'm a part of a church that lives according to the Word of God. I'm thankful for Abundant Life Center that has purposed in their hearts, we're going to live by the precepts of the Word of God. And there are many times I'll get behind a pulpit and I will preach not for what I want to say, but what God wants to say. Because I realize that I'm going to be judged for every word that I have spoken. And if I have somehow quenched the Spirit in you and somehow made you to believe a lie, you know what happens to me? I'm held accountable for the blood that I began to mess up in your life. There's a lot of preachers that have messed up and have just warped this word, the principles of the Word of God. And people are like, I can't believe they did it. Doesn't God care? God cares. Just because He hasn't executed His judgment speedily does not mean He condones it. Bible says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And there's a huge responsibility on us. And there's a huge responsibility on you when the time comes when a friend or family member or coworker or whoever it is that you begin to cross paths with and they ask you, what do I need to do to go to heaven? You can't just pat them on the back and say, God loves you, live the way you want to. You can't do that. You're held accountable by every word that you've spoken. That's why I've got to get the Word of God in my heart. And I've got to say, listen, let's just open up the Word of God. Let's see what God says. Because Nicodemus came to the Lord and said, what must a man do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Is this Abundant Life Center's message? No, it's the message of God. Peter got done preaching an incredible message, and in Acts 2:37, after they heard the words of God, conviction set into their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter could have said, well, just, you know, let's just join a club. Let's just write our names down. You know, I sit in that pew and you sit in that pew and that's your parking spot and that's my parking spot and we'll get together for potlucks and we'll get together for social clubs. There's some churches that's all they are. They're all about fellowship, all about making people happy. But I want to make sure when I come to the house of God that I don't just come just to pat each other on the back. But I come to say, God, give me a word. Give me a fresh rhema word. God, what do I need to do to go to heaven? That's why Peter stood up and he saw on that day of Pentecost when they asked the question, what must I do to be saved? He said, men and brethren, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We've got to understand it's more than just saying, well, God loves everybody. And God loves everybody, but he doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner, but he does not love the sin. If he loved the sin, he would have told the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery to go and keep on sinning. Keep on defiling yourself. Keep on shacking up. He didn't say that. He said, where are thine accusers? She said, there is none, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. When Jesus gets a hold of you and he gets his word engrafted into you. This wasn't meant for us. It was meant for the Jews, but we've been grafted in. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. He allowed the Gentiles to get grafted in by the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that, that he gave us grace. It wasn't anything that we've done. It's the grace of God. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And God has given us his word. He's given us the ability to have a do-over. And I've got to make sure that I align myself with the word of God. And if it's in the word of God, you mark it down. It is a heaven and it is a hell issue. James chapter 4, 17 says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we don't obey the word of God, Brother Joel, it's sin. If we don't do what God has commanded us to, there is no gray area. Did he not say, today I set before you a blessing and a curse? There's no pat on the back. There's just, you know, you're going to feel good. No. He said, bless or curse. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. That's why we got to make sure that we get into the word of God. That's why we got to bring our word with us. That's why we got to open it up, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Don't just take the preacher's word for it, but get it in. Because if you take the preacher's word for it, you know how your walk with God's going to be? It's going to be predicated on the man of God. And if the man of God falls and backslides and walks away from truth, guess what's going to happen to your religion? You're going to fall and you're going to walk away from truth. But if you get it in your heart and you get it in your spirit and you start studying this word and it gets engrafted into you, then you make up your mind. It doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter who goes. I'm going to live for God. I'm not doing it for my mother. I'm not doing it for my father. I'm not doing it for my spouse. I'm not doing it for the preacher. I'm not doing it for the pastor. But I'm doing it because God has enlightened to me the word of God, and I want to please him, and I want to live by his precepts, because it's in the word of God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Another question. Do the standards of conduct and appearance give in Scripture apply to us today? Or should they be discarded in favor of a lifestyle that is less noticeable and less offensive to our modern society? After all, we don't want to be offensive. We don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. We want the gospel to be easy. We want to be politically correct. We want to be politically sound. We want to hurt anybody's feelings. And there's a lot of churches. They live their lives trying to please one another. Can I tell you, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I want you to like me. I want you to be pleased in me. But listen, if you're not pleased in me and you don't like me, it really is not going to affect me, because I'm really looking for one approval, and it's His. I'm looking for one person to pattern my life after. I love you, I like you, but I don't want to pattern my life after you. I want to pattern my life after Him. I want to live by His rule and His concept and His word. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I get outside the book, don't follow me. 2 Timothy says it like this, chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not what? Endure sound. What is sound doctrine? Truth. That's what sound doctrine is. Can I tell you what heresy is formed out of? Some doctrine. Not sound, but some. And they take some truth and they corrupt it and make their own spin on it. And then they present it to you because you're not rooted and grounded in this word. You're just taking everybody's word for it. And it sounds good to you. And you're like, oh, well, maybe I am living under bondage. Well, maybe I messed up. And it sounds good. Heresy is always derived from some truth. So the question is, Pastor, how do we defeat heresy? By sound doctrine. By the truth of the Word of God. But there's going to be a time that people are not going to endure sound doctrine. Why? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, unto something that just sounds good. Many have said if you would change some of your standards, there'd be many more people that'll join your church. If you stop being so hard, if you just stop quoting scripture, if you would just stop preaching the word, more people would come. Can I give you 411? Number one, this is not my church. This is God's church. And seeing that it's God's church, then I got to use His methods. Not my methods, not your methods, but I've got to use His methods. Not your ideas, not your opinions, not my ideas, but it's His method, it's His word. Amen. Gotta follow Him. So it doesn't really matter what you believe, nor does it really matter what I believe. Again, I love my family, I love my grandma and grandpa. Can I tell you, that's one of the most difficult things for people to do, is to walk away from what their family was rooted and grounded in. I remember I was witnessing, Brother Rudy, and I've got to hurry. I was witnessing to a diehard Catholic. And as I was talking with him, the very first words out of his mouth, I don't want to hear it. I'm Catholic. I didn't even say anything. I was outside his gate, his metal gate, and that's what he said. He goes, don't want to hear it? I'm a Catholic. And so I've always said this, that the area of your greatest weakness trial becomes the area of your greatest ministry. I was raised Catholic, and so that was my inroad. I said, no matter. I said, I was actually raised Catholic. I said, my grandmother was Catholic. I said, her grandmother was Catholic, and I just listed it all down. I said, I took communion, I did all that, and I had his attention by then. And then he allowed me to open up the Word of God, because I said, listen, being a Pentecostal is not a denomination, it becomes an experience. And it's not that you're wrong, but there's more to it. You gotta dive into the scripture. It was kind of like when I was teaching my mother her first Bible study, and all of a sudden, you know, when you're teaching somebody a Bible study and that light clicks on, it clicked on to my mother, and she ran to her closet and she got her big 10 by 10 leather huge Bible, dusted off the cobwebs and the dirt and the dust, and opened it up, found the scripture, and she read the exact scripture that I read. And her reply was, "I've never seen this before. How come I've never seen this before?" I said, "Mama, number one, you got cobwebs on your Bible. You got dust in there. I said, number two, you probably haven't read it." Same thing that when I was talking with that gentleman. And he says, "Listen," he said, I profess that I'm Catholic, but I actually don't even go to church." I said, "Well, let me just tell you what God did for me. Can I just tell you, Bible says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. You know what? There came a day that a preacher came to me and opened up the word of God. And I found that I needed not to run after traditions, because traditions and all that stuff is going to get me in trouble. But the word of God, it will never lead you in unwanted waters. It will always lead you to the truth. It'll always give you that firm foundation. Doesn't matter what storm comes your way. Doesn't matter how the winds begin to blow. If you're planted in the word of God on a pure foundation, you will stand the test of time. I'm telling you, what matters is, what does the word say? Show me in scripture. Show me the words of the Lord. This man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm going to finish with this, Brother Alex, if you'll come. I've got a lot more. We've got a lot. We're going to dive into a lot of this stuff. We're going to dive in because his word's going to judge us. But I'm going to tell you, the reason we do things, our conduct, everything. The reason we do stuff, it's because we're his. And we're a reflection of him. Okay? And we're going to get into all this stuff. I just want to lay a foundation tonight. Because I'm going to want you, I need you to understand this. That if you're only opening this up, church time, you're missing it. You got to open this up and you got to read it. You say, "Well, where do I start?" Well, why don't you start in the good news section? Because we hear a lot of fake news in this world. We hear a lot of bad news. Isn't it time to hear the good news? Well, what is the good news? It's the Gospels. Well, what's the Gospels? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Yeah, but what are the books of the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very beginning of the New Testament. Why don't you read the words of Jesus? I remember there came a time when I was at Bible college and I was praying, "God, speak to me," because everybody at Bible college was saying, "Oh, God spoke to me and he said this and he said that." I'm like, man, he didn't speak to me. So, I mean, I was praying. Brother McIntosh, I mean, I was praying, "God," for almost 2 months. Maybe a month, month and a half. But it was past a month. It was in between 1 and 2 months. But I remember praying every 6 o'clock morning prayer. And even when everybody else was going out on Friday nights, I'd find myself under a pew. And I was praying, "God, I want to hear you. God, I want to hear you." And finally, out of my desperation, I felt an impression of the Lord. And if I ever heard his voice, he spoke to me. And he said, "You'll never know how I speak if you don't read my word. The only way you know me is right here. Because John 1:1 says, 'In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God.'" What you hold in your hands, it's God. It's the creator of this world. That's what you hold. That's the power that I could care less how big your bank account is. Look what you have. God breathed himself into this. You drop it down, verse 14. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know God? You got to get his Word. And when you start to know him, then you start to put on him. And you become a reflection of him. Because we are his. I told the guy, I said, you need to get baptized. He said, I was sprinkled on as a little kid. I said, I was too. I said, but I didn't choose that. I was 1 or 2 years old. I don't know how old I was. They sprinkled on me, but I didn't make up my mind. I said, you, Bible says, need to be buried with him in baptism. Because when you're buried with him in baptism, you take on his name. Everything about God is so incredible. Because God is always about a second chance and a third chance. And I don't know about you, but I need some do-overs in life. I need God to forgive me. I need God to help me. And the only way he can help me is I got to be buried with him in baptism. I've got to put on his name. And that's when his word becomes alive. He says, behold, old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Because we are his. Because we are a reflection of him. Don't you think you ought to spend a little bit of time getting in his word? Because here's what happens. When you get into his word, it's no longer, well, it's what pastor says. It's what the church believes. No, it's what thus saith the Lord. And when somebody talks to you about whatever, you just say, hey, let's just open up the word of God. You take a chapter, I'll take a chapter. Let's read together. When's the last time you did that? Opened up your word. And just one to another. And just start reading scripture. This is the only thing that can help you. I don't care how many self-help books you read. I don't care if you call Dr. Phil and you showed up at the Oprah show. She ain't gonna help you. But God will. And everything we do and everything we don't do is all because we're his. We're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about what we wear. We're going to talk about all that stuff, hair and all that. It's because we're his. And I want the world to see, not me, but I want the world to see him through me. I believe he can. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you raise your hands all across the building? Would you just say, God, I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to know everything about you. And I pray that you'd breathe on me. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Help, God, get the word. Get your word into our lives. It's our map. It's our guide. It's our source of strength. It'll help my marriage. It'll help my kids. It'll help my home. It'll help relationships. Let me know your word. Let me embrace your word into my life. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. Raise your voice. We've got a few minutes. Why don't you step out of your pew? Why don't we line this front? And why don't we pray a simple prayer? God, renew the passion. Renew the desire of your word. birth a love for the scripture inside my heart. Let me learn to meditate on it. Let me learn to digest it. Speak to me, God, through your word. Open up my understanding. Open up my eyes. Let me be open to this. I want to live according to your word. I've ran after things that don't please and things that don't satisfy. But God, tonight, I'm running after your word. I'm running after your precepts. Come on, that's it. Give me a hunger for your word. Give me a hunger for your word. Hallelujah. Let it activate, God. Let it activate, God. Let it activate in my soul. Hallelujah.
Take my
feet.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Speak through me.
You can
use anything,
Lord.
Oh, lift your voice and sing it one more time.
You can use anything, Lord.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to eat this. Get up to the table and eat this. This will give you strength. This will give you medicine. This will be that ointment. This will be that balm of Gilead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use. Take my hands,
Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart,
Lord, speak through me.
Hallelujah.
If you can use anything, Lord.
Praise God. Here's the cool thing about reading the Word of God. And that is when you really begin to read this Word, it's crazy how it works. When you start reading this and you really start digesting it, you're going to have interactions with people and you're going to start talking with people, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, scriptures and verses are going to come out your mouth, and you're like, how'd that happen? I didn't study for this test. And you walk away and you're like, God, how? And he said, because you studied it and I brought it back to your remembrance. You don't have to know every word, every verse. But if you'll honestly be open to the word of God and you'll pray a simple prayer, God, open up my understanding. Open up my heart to this word and give me wisdom beyond my understanding. It'll radically change your life. God, I'm praying for your children tonight. I'm praying, God, for a love of truth to get a hold of them. I'm praying, God, that when they get up in the morning and when they lay their head on the pillow at night, before, God, they sleep, before they go out the door, that they'll pick up your word and they'll read the word of God. I pray you bless their homes, their family, their marriages. What they put their hand to do, let it prosper. Open up their eyes and their understanding for the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, clap your hands unto the Lord. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Friday night, 7 o'clock, practice, Messiah. Saturday, work day. Saturday, pancake day. We're going to have a great time with the Lord. God bless you.